When we learn something as unusual as we have, it's quite a jolt. It makes people a little nervous. They themselves don't even know they're nervous until they see the effect they have on somebody else. We can't be the same, and the purpose of the inner education is that you won't be the same. We're shaking ourselves up considerably. We don't want the same attitudes to persist that have persisted in many cases. So if somebody says to you, you look like you've just been born, you're acting kind of different, that's a good sign. We have almost been born, but you'll have to do the rest. The new birth is what the Bible asks for. When it says man must be born again, I don't know what I would say to that if a person had told me that at one time. And old Nicodemus certainly didn't know what was being said to him. It doesn't matter how high you are. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He knew everything that he was supposed to know. But here this young man says to him, you must be born again. How? You must get rid of the belief that you were born. I didn't tell him that. And then you must be aware of the fact that you are the Christ of God. And it must come to you with a power. It may come silently, easily, but it can never leave you the same. And it is our function to help that birth by emptying out every concept that we maintain rigidly prevents the new birth. Do you think materiality is not with us anymore, just because we've had a few sessions? Maybe the remembrance of it isn't as keen, but you'll probably walk out of here with as material a concept of life as you came in, except for something stored in the back of your head, the awareness that I'm something other than I appear to be. So there has to be a conscious awareness of this change. I've got to help it along. I've got to be ready to abandon ideas which, by their very nature, are obsolete. I can't have anything between me and any man or woman. I can't regard them as lowly or above me. I know that man walking the street in his true essence is I am. I am that man. Doesn't matter what he looks like, what name he has. I am everyone who walks in this world. And they are all I. I don't know how you're going to become aware of that incredible truth, but somehow you're going to find yourself falling into an understanding that I am my neighbor, and that's why I love my neighbor as myself. Take off the skin, get out of the bones. There's one spirit in the universe, and I am that spirit, and she is that spirit. In our incredible eternal essence, we are one. Now that's a difficult understanding to live with, but you'll find trying to live with it eliminates some of the problem. Because really, I think I'm better than you, or you think you're better than me. Well, we can't be better than each other. We are the same one. And when we discover we are the same one, then we have to temper our activity to an appreciation of that fact. And when we do that, we have emptied out all of the human belief through the ages that you and I are two different people. We're not. We're not even people. We are the one. And now you have opened a porthole. Information flows in. Information only flows into you when you have accepted the truth. And when you know that I am the one that is walking everywhere, you have opened that porthole to a new level of yourself. You can't know what it is to know you're the one and to find something happening in your inner consciousness. And that is one of the veils. You've only got six to go, but you've got to do this one further. You've got to use it in every circumstance. When he does you wrong, you've got to know I am the one. You'll find your knowledge of I am the one comes back to you in many startling ways, always wonderful. And even though you think you know your I am the one, you don't. You've got to keep knowing. You've got to keep knowing until you don't know it with your human mind. Until your Christ mind digests this truth for you and brings you into something beyond thought. When you expand out into the universe in consciousness as the one, and you must continue in the oneness until you are the infinite one and you know the truth of it, not with your human mind but with your Christ mind, where it never occurs to you that there is another one than you. And you find you're treating everybody, thinking of everybody, in a way you didn't know was possible. The Bible says, judge not. The judgment you mete out to one comes back to you. That's very clear now. If you are the one, you won't have to stop and think, I love this person. You love yourself, and yourself is everyone. Do you see how brotherly love becomes something more? Do you see how that ultimately will be the end of the animosity between neighbors? How that will be the love of nations for each other. It's not in your far future. We all thought the war was in our immediate now. We got engulfed with it. All of a sudden it stopped. oh, there's some details hanging on. We thought we'd have to depose a man or something of that nature, and we find it's all being taken care of. Some of the wonderful things that can happen are in your immediate future. You'll find that they've already happened. You just haven't come into it. Everything has ever happened that will happen. God's universe has never been added to. It's complete. But we, in a fraction of consciousness, are growing into the awareness of its completion. And to us, it's new. We say that's tomorrow. That's our future. Well, to this consciousness, it is. And to the next consciousness, there'll be less of that. There'll be an awareness of what is, instead of what was and what will be. And that which is will be all there is. There will be no was and will be. There will just be the infinite is. These changing awarenesses come to you, and you find there's less wear and tear on your body. There's less pressure. You're at ease. My peace I give unto you. Rest in it. We try, if we can, to align ourselves with this great love, with this great peace, with this oneness. And wherever you find that is difficult, that's good. That means that's where you work. If there's only one life, how can he be sick and I'm well? One of us is wrong. But there is one life, and it is the life of God. How can it end? It would have to be that God can die. If God can't die, neither can I, which am the one life. How about mental diseases? Where do they occur? They're all in the human mind. Are they in the Christ mind? How about physical diseases? They're all in the human body. How about the Christ body? If I am the one life, I must have the Christ body and the Christ mind. And the sooner I realize I have it, the sooner the possibility of mental diseases and physical diseases is something that I outgrow. Now that's why all of these problems are in the world, to tell you where you are and how far you must travel in consciousness, because when you finally attain the awareness of who and what and where, you don't have the problem. And that tells you, and you couldn't learn it any other way. We're all in different professions, and yet all of these professions, regardless of their nature, all lead to one final knowledge of the oneness of God, and that God is all that exists. The knowledge that God is the only self does not leave us out. And God is the only self. You think I'm a doctor. I'm a school teacher. I'm an author. But your success is going to depend on learning that you're not these things. In your human sense of things, that's what you're going to appear as. But through it, when you come to the realization that this doctor, this school teacher, this housewife, this retired man are all the one self, that there are no boundaries, that there's no separation between them, then you see what a shell a body is, and what the one who is aware of God's presence in his life has got to go through to achieve that infinite consciousness. When you're connected with God in oneness, you say, that must be too, though. I am connected to God. There's God in me. But Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't say there's God in me. He says, I and the Father are one. And it's difficult to come to an understanding of how Jesus can be one with God and not be two. But you see, when the form of Jesus isn't there, then we understand something has happened. He certainly appeared as two, but his form never was there. That was the illusion that the world accepts. It's a case of 1,000 people, and 999 believe this, and the one who doesn't believe it is the right one. The world believes that we're all individual separate entities, and one who knows that we're not is the right one. I and the Father are not two. So therefore we would say that, is the Father then an emanation? Something emanates as the Father and I am a part of it and I am a phase of it? No, that's not true either. When the Father and I are one, I am the Father. It is said that the Father is greater than the Son. Only in one aspect. Everything the Father is, the Son is. And therefore, the Father is the same as the Son. The Son is the Father, and the Father is the Son. And when you are the Son, you even have the same power as the Father. Then is there any difference? Though we are told and read that the Father is greater than the Son. I have every power that God has because I must be that self. I don't care if you appear as this or that in your human body. I know you are the Father and the Son. And I know that when I look at you, you may tell me I'm 38 years old or I'm 54. I say you're over 1 million years old. And I stopped counting at that point. You have to be, not what you appear. You have to be what God is. And that's the purpose of Scripture. It's amazing that in all this world we have so many books, but Scripture, which comes from another level, is the only thing you can depend on to tell you the truth. I am the truth and the way. It seems so funny that we can look in the past and find men who were ahead of what we are today. Maybe you didn't like Paul. He was too brusque. There were things about Paul that some people resented. I don't know if he had good manners or not. But he knew the truth, and he was the truth. And even the disciples found a lot in Paul that was greater than they at one time, because they hadn't yet attained any awareness of Christ. Paul was an important man to follow. He didn't waste any time with patting you on the back and telling you things to make you feel good. He was very difficult to understand. Even today, they write books about Paul and they're trying to puzzle out one thing and another. But you could depend on one thing from Paul. He knew who you were and he knew who he was. And there was no distinction. Do you know it's possible to come to Paul's understanding in different ways than he did? Lightning could strike and it doesn't hit you and you wonder, whatever did happen? Well, you're riding in a plane and it's going to go down, and you have a realization. Nobody's aware of it but you. When that plane rights itself, you realize the same thing as Paul realized. When that lightning strikes and all around you but doesn't touch you, you realize what Paul realized. You may realize that the reason it touched me not is because even though it was an electrical storm and this is matter, I am not in this body, and I was not in the body that the lightning storm hit. It couldn't touch me. I'm not touchable. I'm not physical form. And that realization of not being touched and why it didn't touch you is the same as Paul's experience in Damascus. It can come to you in many ways, but it comes. And you're saying to yourself, I can't believe that I can never die. I can't believe it. I know they'll put me in the ground and I won't be dead. I know that I'm going up to this level of the fifth plane. Even though I know that I'm Christ now, I've got to go through these steps. And I don't know what I'm going to find in the fifth plane, except a lot of other souls cramming their awareness with greater knowledge than I have now. But there is that assurance that I will continue in the world or out of the world into any dimension that God wants me to, but I will continue and continue and never stop continuing. And that assurance is a peace. I may be one of the next or third or fifth or tenth generations that comes into the immortal species, the next species on this earth. But I'll be it, and I don't know when. And in that, we will find that many of the things that we are busy with are forgotten because they have no meaning. Everything on this plane that has no meaning in the next won't be in the next. But how does your life continue? You see, your life continues because this is not your life. But your life is here now. And if you could reach below the surface into the invisible and see, you would see a new life to you, but an old life, a life that is indivisible from the life of God. The life of God is maintaining all life around the infinite. And you're not a part of it. You are the infinite life. And so we're going to come into this awareness in the next phase. And we come into it first by coming into it now, in this phase. And then, as it becomes a part of our consciousness, we find ourselves automatically in the next phase. Each one travels through these phases. And in that next phase, that's what you're preparing for. We're preparing for eternity because we know that each phase leads to eternity. The fifth phase is the beginning of eternity. We're going to have a conference next year. By the way, it'll be in Hawaii. And the conference next year will be only on that which is called life eternal. That'll be the subject of it. And we are preparing for that conference and for that consciousness by beginning the acceptance of life eternal right here, right now. I'm not going into life eternal. I am life eternal. There's a distinction. I am life eternal. And you must be knowing this, knowing this, knowing this, because you are life eternal. And until you realize that you are, till you come into the conscious awareness of it, you'll be delaying the progress that is part of your experience when you are on the path to reality. You are now life eternal. And if a truck comes and runs over you, you are life eternal. Nothing changes that. You'll be back, whether in a form or as a spirit. But live with that thought, because it is very important to your absence of fear. First of all, it's true, and secondly, it banishes all fear. Think of life eternal, please, and try to picture yourself as life eternal and see how different it is than being a sense-minded human being. First of all, your five senses can't see life eternal. Your emotions are not aware of life eternal. This is a phase of humanhood, this five-sense creature, which we are learning to look through. You can be in the five senses and know that there's more life, even in humanhood, than the five senses can reveal. Sort of sit there for a moment and let the five-sense world go by And you find that you're still there. You're still there when the five-sense world rolls by. And that you that is still there is your life. That life, your awareness of a life beyond this life, is what you carry with you at all times. This life, this temporary span that I was once satisfied with, is not even my life. But it's the outpicturing of what my consciousness has been able to accept. I have been able to accept what I am outpicturing. That's why the world sees me. This, they see, is not me. It's my level of consciousness. And as my level of consciousness rises, they're going to see a different me. And when my level of consciousness arises to the soul level, and then beyond the soul to my spiritual level, and beyond to the marriage of my soul and spirit, this physical level disappears. And I am still aware of being the I that I am, and now I have greater vision. I have the single eye vision. I don't hear with human ears. There aren't any five senses in your higher self. But you see clearly. You see everything you want to see. You hear a different melody. Hearing involves much more than what the ears have heard. You can see into the soul of flowers. You can detect at a glance what is in the soul of another. For it is your soul too. When the awareness of the five senses becomes closer to the reality of awareness, every part of you hears, sees, smells, but the smells and the sights and the hearing are so different because the same things aren't out there. As you change within, the outward changes. And now you're looking in a new world. The world isn't the same as it is. I make all things new. That's what is lying ahead. The new kingdom. The new world, the new Jerusalem. We have waited, and we have checked, and we have sought information about where people go when they're buried. Their souls seem to rise. Do we hear from them, and how, and all that? Nothing comes back very conclusive. Because it's all guesswork. People seem to think they're advanced because they guess a lot better than someone else. They're called in the Bible Balaam. The people who have the great insights and the great ability to work with matter in such a way, they're warned. We're warned about them. Many of them oppose the great masters who had true spiritual awareness. And their awareness was a great thing for them, but it was intellectual. It may have gone beyond the five dimensions into a sixth or a seventh, but the infinite dimensions don't have individual dimensions. In infinity, you have the only true sense of what is happening. Infinite vision, infinite hearing, all goes together as infinite knowing. There's nothing to see, nothing to hear. You infinitely and incredibly swift know. I think we know that God has provided a perfect universe for us to live in. We are told to hold fast till he comes, whose right it is to sit upon the throne. And of course, Christ will sit upon the throne. I can't tell you, or even myself, how to live with an infinite consciousness. But I can see that it must be so. Even Christ did not try to teach the infinite consciousness, but he brought those who were with him up to where they could live in it. Without doubts, without fears. There's no fear in heaven. There's no doubt in heaven. There's none of these negative emotions. So let's have a touch of our reality. Let's experience the kingdom by as well as we can setting aside mortal thought. Mortal thought involves everything of this world. We are highly conscious without mortal thought. Let's move higher into that atmosphere . We're losing ourselves to find ourselves. I will remind you that every mortal activity you indulge in will keep you in mortality. I can't expect you to go through 24 hours a day without falling into mortality quite frequently. But when you do, the laws of matter govern you. The moment you have a human thought, the laws of matter engulf you. And my thoughts, says the Father, are not your thoughts. Fortunately, 1 minute of immortality may be worth 100 years of mortality. You don't need much of it to know what it is. But try to remember, even though remembrance is a mortal quality, to stand in the awareness of no thought whenever you find you have an opportunity. Take no thought for your life. For the life you take thought about probably is not your life. I say probably because you won't be thinking of your immortal life, perhaps, because human thought can't think of it. There is every indication that it would not be permissible to teach this message if it were not attainable. What has come to us is that which we can attain, that which is prepared, and we can be heartened by the knowledge that it wouldn't come to us unless the Father was with us, gently lifting us all into the realm of the kingdom.